Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yep. Live with you here, watching a little 2017 Royal Rumble. John Cena, AJ Styles going at it right now. I think it was SummerSlam of 17, right, that they had that epic match. That was a hell of a match. I think that was 17, right, when... But that's 17 or 18. I'm trying to remember. SummerSlam, when those two guys, Cena and AJ Styles. By the way, the pride of Gainesville, Georgia, AJ Styles. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to leave us a comment there, feel free to do that. As always, we ask you to download the Radio.com app because, well, that's the way you can listen to the radio station when you're not in your car. We know you're not spending as much time there as you have been, so, and you want to listen to the radio station, so do it through the Radio.com app. Got your new friend. Put it on one of your devices. You got your smartphone. You got your smart speakers, right? You got a tablet that you carry around. Maybe it's a boombox. Maybe it's a jukebox player. Maybe it's a Sega Genesis, Commodore 64, an Xbox, something. Whatever you got for a device, just put it on that so that you can listen to us anywhere on the go. Social media, 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As always, the best way to be with our show is follow us on our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's in Midtown producing the show, as always. Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. This is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So a couple of things tonight. So Pro Football Focus, as we're in our list mode, has, and I've been waiting for this list because I've been curious to see where they would put the Falcons. They have put out their offensive line rankings as we're headed into 2020. And obviously we're headed toward, you know, training camp here in just, what, 2-3 weeks or whatever it's going to be. Now, they had the Indianapolis Colts at number one. And obviously with everybody back and maybe the best offensive lineman in the NFL, if he's not the best, he's top three or four. Hell, probably top one, two, three in the NFL. So they're number one, to give you just some perspective on who they've got. The Falcons, this is not good, come in at 24th. The story of the 2020 Falcons will start with the offensive line after they posted the worst pass blocking and run blocking grades of the Matt Ryan era. After years as one of the most stable units in the league, Atlanta's offensive line has regressed, and they finished 24th in our 2019 rankings. The good news is that Atlanta still has strong pillars up front in left tackle Jake Matthews and center Alex Mack, who are still two of the league's best at their respective positions. This is going to hurt people's feelings, what I'm about to say. This is Pro Football Focus, and I understand everybody's got their opinion on it, but this is what they say. Matthews is one of the best zone blockers in the league, 89th percentile over the last 2 years, while Mack is ranked second, fourth, and ninth among centers over the last 3 seasons. Okay. Questions abound beyond that, but there is hope. The Falcons invested 2 first-round picks in right guard Chris Lindstrom and right tackle Caleb McGarry in 2019, but Lindstrom only saw the field for 309 snaps, graded out at 66.6 overall, while McGarry struggled to a 53 overall grade that ranked 79th out of 89 qualifying tackles. Ooh, oofta. Offensive linemen can often take time to develop, but the Falcons must start seeing the rewards from their steep investment. That leaves the left guard position, where James Carpenter is slated to start after posting a 45.3 grade that was worse than all but seven guards last season. Oofda. Yeah, it wasn't good for the interior offensive line last year. Keep an eye on third-round rookie center Matt Hennessy, who could compete for snaps among three after three strong years of grading at Temple. So, you know, number one, we've spent tons of time talking about this offensive line. You know, first and foremost, it's got to start with health. You know, this group has to develop a cohesion, no matter who plays left guard. We know four of the five spots for sure, okay? It's just a matter of sorting out who's that left guard. Is it Hennessy? Is it Gonneau? Is it Carpenter? Is it, you know, Jamon Brown? I think if Carpenter or Brown, I think one of those guys is going to end up cut when all is said and done. I think you're going to see one of those guys cut when all is said and done with it, to try to pick up a little bit of cap relief and a little bit of cap space as that kind of emergency fund that the Falcons like to have. But this, if this team is going to get to its ultimate goals, this ranking and where they sit has to drastically improve. Now, I do think that Chris Lindstrom will take a definite step forward. If he gets a chance to play 16 games in the NFL this year, I think he takes a definite step forward. You don't have to worry about Jake Matthews. I still have said he's one of the better left tackles in the league. As long as Alex Mack doesn't have that big fall off, you can get away with a decent but not great left guard. As we've said, Chris Chester was a guard in the Super Bowl. Okay. The key to me is what Caleb McGarry can do at that right tackle spot. He's got to get better. And I'm still not convinced, and I said this on draft night, I'm not convinced that he's the long-term right tackle for this team. I don't know that he has the ability to take those guys in that first step off the ball. Now, look, he's young. Hopefully he improves. They need him to improve. I'm not 100% that he's the long-term right tackle, but for at least this year, he is the right tackle. And you've got to get him to where he can protect Matt's front side and take that step forward too. Doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler out there. But, you know, Ryan Schrader did a lot of good things for this franchise when he played right tackle as, what, an undrafted free agent out of Valdosta State, right? And they squeezed everything out of him that they could get. So, McGarry's got plenty of talent, but he's got to take that next step forward. He, to me, is the big wild card on this offense line. We talked about this before. To me, the three big things about this offensive line. Number one, cohesion, stay healthy. Everybody's got to stay healthy. Number two, McGarry has to improve his play. Number three, they cannot afford a big fall off from Alex Mack, where he has one of those, oh crap, it looks like it may be over for Alex Mack type of seasons, and you're fighting, scratching, clawing. So he's got to be, you know, he's got to be able to still, he doesn't have to be the best center in the NFL, but he's got to be still, you know, a very above average center for this team. But that's one of those things that's probably about, truthfully, where they deserve to be graded given last year. All right, we'll do the defense tomorrow, but Vaughn McClure has put out for each side of the football his better, worse, or the same for the offense and in defense of the Atlanta Falcons as we head into training camp coming up, okay? So, you know, he looks at additions, losses, you know, who's coming back, you know, all this, that, and the other, okay? You know, when he looks at the quarterbacks, because you've got Matt Ryan, you've got Matt Schaub, Kurt Benker, Denny Etling. You've had no additions, you've had no losses. So when he says that the better, worse are the same, they're the same, which is not a bad thing. Which, to make sure we understand, just because he says same doesn't make it bad. Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan still. He's still in the prime of his career. He still has prime years left. It's not a position that they needed to improve. Truthfully, it's not a position that they couldn't improve even if they wanted to improve there.
Oh, what do you mean? We could have gotten this guy, that guy. What guy?
Some kid out of college? How's that better than the guy with the seventh most yards in the history of the NFL right now? Anyway, running backs, obviously, Mickey Daniel, Todd Gurley, the additions, Devontae Freeman, Kenyon Barner, the losses with Hill, Smith, Allison, Reynolds, and Keith Smith, the fullback, coming back this year. Better, worse, the same? He's got better. And he says, assuming Gurley can stay healthy. I'll say, I mean, if Todd Gurley just replicates last year, he doesn't even have to statistically be better. The one area I think will be that receiving game. But truthfully, he doesn't have to be statistically better than he was last year, and it would still be an improvement in this offensive running attack. Would still be an improvement if he was just the same player. If he's 900 yards and 12 touchdowns, that's better than the starter you had last year. And even if that means pitch count, reduced snaps, a game or two missed, whatever like that, just replicate what he did where everybody was like, oh, he didn't do this. Okay. Hell, I'd love to have a guy give me 900 yards and 12 touchdowns right now. Wouldn't you? I mean, are you telling me like right now you wouldn't love to have a guy who got 900 yards and a dozen rushing touchdowns? I think we'd all love to see that. Wide receivers, additions, Treadwell, Chris Rowland, Jalen McCleskey, Juwan Green. Now remember that. These are also guys that are undrafted, this, that, and the other. Losses. Did he really put this down as a loss, Justin Hardy? He listed Justin Hardy as one of the losses. By the way, the only loss in the receiving corps. Jones, Ridley, Gage, Blake, Zacchaeus, Powell, Gray. Those are all the guys that are returning. Better, worse, or the same? He's got them as the same. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. They're not worse, but they definitely have the ability to be better. They definitely, if they can find a way to effectively use Treadwell, if Gage can take that next step forward, hell, if Zacchaeus can take that next step forward, you know, they have a definite chance to be a better unit. Yes, they started the year last year with Mohamed Sanu, you know, with Ridley being their third wide receiver, okay? But I think definitely they have a shot to be, and I think truthfully they're more talented right now at wide receiver than they were going into last year because Ridley's taken a step forward. Treadwell has, you know, got talent. I think Gage is automatically a little bit better. So I think from a talent perspective, they're already better than they were last year. Tight ends, Hurst comes over, Kari Lee, Jared Pinkney, Caleb Rep. They lose Hooper and Stocker, obviously, with Graham and Meyer, the returners. He's got this group as being to be determined, which is, that's a cop-out, man. I mean, pick a side. Pick a side. If I have to say better, worse, or the same, for right now, they're worse because Hooper had such a good year last year. But they certainly can get Hayden Hurst to be close enough to his production to not have to take a step back. And finally, on the offensive line, they say that they're better with adding Hennessy, with the fact of health. Again, I would say, I'll say better because everybody's coming into this year healthy. That's why they're better. That's why they're better this year than last year, is because they're coming into this year with a healthy Lindstrom, a healthy McGarry, and they can figure out one of their guard positions. So I'll say that they're better on the offensive line simply because they're healthy going into this year, and hopefully that literally by itself could transition into being better. All right, when we get back, time for That's Life. Whew, I finally got my account figured out. I've been having trouble getting into my E-Trade account. Almost wish I wouldn't have logged in today. But there is one success story that I have that I kind of told you all about. And an old classic was number one at the box office. Yes, there are movie theaters that are open in the United States. And guess what the number one movie was? We'll talk about it next. It is John Chakra Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app.
Back at it on the John Chuckery Show. 9:22 on a Rumble Tuesday. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Hell of a match between John Cena and AJ Styles, by the way. Cena with the championship. One thing about Cena, man. I said I'm not the biggest Cena guy, but he walks the walk and talks the talk. He's done more to help out, you know, kids with Make-A-Wish and everything. I mean, he is the real deal. He's a real good guy, and he's always done everything to better the lives of other people, especially kids out there. Social media, don't forget, at 929 The Game, follow me at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90, and of course, radio.com app is where you catch us live, and when you're not in your vehicle, it's the best place to get with us. Been having trouble logging into my E-Trade account the last several days. I don't know what the screw-ups are. I keep trying to figure it out, and I finally got it unlocked and figured out, and I think I wish I would have not gone into the market today. Whew. Got my butt kicked again today, man. Well, it's going to be a long, slow road, man. So much for that V recovery, man, because it's going to be a while. Now, and Jarvis, I didn't even mention this to you yet. One of the stocks I told you I invested in a few weeks ago, and I looked it up. I invested in it on, I bought them on June 17th is the day. So we're, what, less than a month, right? Guess what, three weeks, somewhere around in that range, right? That's about right, right? 3 weeks ago I bought it. Jarvis, do you remember when I told you about AYRO? They are a... Do you remember when I told you about them? All right. They are an electric vehicle manufacturer. They're in the auto industry. They make other electric types of vehicles. But they have just completed their factory expansions in Austin, Texas, where Tesla is moving to as well. And now their capabilities are, they were producing about 200 vehicles a day. They can now produce about 600 vehicles a day now with their capability out there. And their stock has shot up. I bought it at $2.695. So 2.695. They closed today at $5.83. So I've made 120% return in 3 weeks on it. And they're like the hot new thing because they're raising more capital. They put some stock on sale. They're trying to raise more capital because they're trying to get into the electrical vehicle market even more, produce more. So I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping that, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, look, it doesn't have to go crazy. But man, even if that thing could get to, I don't know, what if it got to like $15 or something like that? I'm trying to think about. I'm watching it to see. There's no reason why in the short term it won't continue to go up because they're red hot right now. And there's all good news coming out and good financial reports. They're raising more money. They just built their factory to expand. So their factory is now bigger. They can produce more. They can do more research and technology. They've got everything associated with it. So it's all good news for all of it. So I'm going to watch it because I'm ready to make some money, man. I need to cut down to one job a week. My feet are killing me, man. One day back on my day job, and my feet are just absolutely killing me for all of this today. But AYRO, just keep them in mind. You know, they're in the electric vehicle business. And like I said, they're in Austin, Texas. Tesla's coming through Austin, Texas. There's somebody else, too. There's another company that's in the auto manufacturing or something like that that's coming to Austin, Texas as well. There's something else in there. But Tesla, obviously, is the main one as they're coming over from California. So just keep that all in mind when you're looking to invest. All right. So I tweeted this out over the 4th of July holiday, and you know, I finished up one of my Audible books. If you've ever seen the movie
We Were Soldiers. I think it's from 2002. We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson. It's a movie set during Vietnam. It's a movie about defending the Iadrang Valley. Okay, that's a true story. It's based off the true story of the Marines that fought in the Iadrang Valley in like October, November of 65. It's unique because it's one of the first major battles. It is the first major battle, I should say. It's the first major battle that the U.S. forces fought against the Vietnam Army, the Viet Cong, which is two different things. Viet Cong guerrillas and then, of course, the AV, what is it, the AVRN. They were the AVRN or the PVRN, whatever it was. The North Vietnamese Army, along with the Viet Cong guerrillas. But I read the book, and it's a real intense look because it's written by the commander, Hal Moore. He's a retired lieutenant general. Also one of the media guys that was embedded with him. And this is back, you know, in 65. This book came out in 92 or 93. Man, I mean, at times it's a really hard read because they get some of the soldiers that were there as well telling their story. And, I mean, it's not for the faint of heart, but I've really become fascinated with learning more about Vietnam. You know, as I said, my uncle, my mom's brother, fought in Vietnam. He was a Marine. He was in Da Nang, among some other places. Fought in Vietnam. Unfortunately, died very young at 41 years old. Did not die in Vietnam, but he died in 86. He died in 86. He was only like 40, 41, 42 years old when he died. Wasn't very old. And never really got a chance to know him real well. He never really talked about his time in Vietnam. I also used to work with a guy that was in the Navy and was on the PT boats in some of those rivers and stuff like that, in some of those firefights on the rivers and stuff like that. And he's like, he won't talk about some of the stories. Fascinating book. If you're looking for, you know, something in that era. I'm reading another book, by the way, in that same era. It's called A Rumor of War, and it's written by a guy by the name of Philip Caputo, who was a lieutenant that ran a group in Vietnam in 65 as well, in Da Nang and some other places. Then he gets moved out of that and takes a job in Japan, works for the Joint Chiefs for a while, and then he comes back into infantry, and then he actually, after he leaves the Army, after there was an incident in his platoon that he took the fall for, and he was going to be up for court-martial, but they honorably discharged him. He comes back later on in 75 as a reporter for a news magazine and is there for the fall of Saigon. I'm not gotten that far yet. He's just gotten out of the jungles in his initial service with the Marines, but it's one of the more popular and recognized books about the Vietnam War because it's one of the first ones that was written by somebody who was there and about that era, A Rumor of War by Philip Caputo. So I'm very much trying to learn and read about what these guys went through. It's not easy, and I mean, I can't even imagine the hell that these guys went through, especially knowing that, well, they didn't know it then, but the fact that we really didn't have a exit strategy, a winning strategy, a strategy for, you know, the way that Westmoreland wanted to win the war was through attrition. Kill more of them than they kill of us. You know, as one of the senators that toured Vietnam, famously toured Westmoreland, when he said, you know, we've got kill ratios of 11 to 1, 12 to 1. He said, the American people don't care about the 11 or 12 Vietnamese you kill. They care about the one that we lose. And Westmoreland never really understood that concept for it. So, fascinating stuff. I really recommend it. You know, I'm trying to find more books about that era and learn more about that time. I've really become fascinated with the Vietnam era. I wasn't a baby boomer. My parents are baby boomers, born right after World War II. But, you know, I'm born during the Vietnam War. I mean, my dad served in Germany in the Army. He was drafted in the Army. For some reason, he did not go to Nam, even though at the time he was in that group that was supposed to go. He ended up, because of his teaching degree, he ended up working in Germany in some of the field offices and stuff like that, while a lot of the guys that he was with, they were all in the muck and mire.
of Vietnam. He's told me before. He's, you know, and I've talked to him about it. He said, I'm still amazed that I did not go into Vietnam and fight. So I was born during that era, you know, born in 71. As we were, you know, trying to figure out our exit strategy. Nixon was president by then, trying to figure out our way out of it, but still, you know, starting to withdraw, but still fighting, you know, still just a tough time for the country during those years. So fascinating stuff. I'm really trying to become a buff and learn more about this kind of stuff. So a couple of good books I recommend. Now, also quickly here too, This is fascinating. So there are, I guess, I did not know this, but there are, it says, even though the major circuits, AMC, Regal, and Cinemark, except for a handful of Dallas area venues, haven't reopened in full as state and local authorities keep cinemas shut down due to COVID-19, there are locations of movie theaters open across America. Now, I didn't really know this, but they're showing, you know, some old movies. And also, too, right, isn't it Walmart and some places are converting into drive-in theaters? That's become a big thing, is the drive-in theater thing. Well, over the weekend, over the Independence Day weekend, you know what the number one movie was? Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters played at 622 locations in a weekend where drive-in cinemas continue to account for 90% of box office business. Said it's been 36 years since Ghostbusters rode to the top of the box office, but it said that the reissue of the 84 classic Ghostbusters grossed $550,000 over the three-day weekend, and has grossed an additional $656,000 since it's reopened on July 1st. How about that? So the number one movie at the box office this past weekend, Ghostbusters. No, not that horrendous one that they did a couple of years ago. The original classic. Great movie. At one time, that was the highest grossing comedy of all time before Home Alone. Now, I'm guessing that they'll be putting more of these movies out because now it looks like a lot of these theaters are not going to open for a while. It beat out Jumanji, The Next Level, Relic, Jurassic Park, Jaws, Deadpool, Jungle Book, Star Wars, The Hunt, and My Spy. That's the top 10 from this weekend. Yes, that Jaws, the original Jaws, is back in some theaters. And I said this before, I asked, are they going to put old movies in theaters? And they have. I got to find out. I never saw Jaws on the big screen. I would love to see unedited, no commercial Jaws on the big screen in today's theaters with their sound and everything. I would love to see that. So I'm going to try to find out. If the AMCs are not open, I don't know what's open. Maybe the AMCs are in some places. But I want to find out if they're open or not. So congratulations to Ghostbusters, man. That's awesome. That's a great movie. Very cool to see that be the number one movie in the box office this past weekend. All right, when we get back, we spoke with Gabe Burns earlier. Of course, he's the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covering the Atlanta Braves. Lots to get into with him. We'll replay that interview for you coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, live with you here on a Rumble Tuesday, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.